what can I do with generative AI? How can it make my life easier so it frees me up to do the things that are in my genius zone? And how can it make it easier to do business or for my clients to work with me?
Welcome to the AI for Creative Entrepreneurs podcast, where we guide you through the weird and wonderful landscape of artificial intelligence. I'm Rob Marsh.
And I'm Kira Hug. We are the founders of the Copywriter Club, and our goal is to help you stay ahead of the curve. We'll show you how to use these new AI tools to maximize creativity, simplify work and life, and reinvent your creative career so AI works for you, not against you.
So whether you are a copywriter, a marketer, a content writer, or a creative professional of any kind, join us as we explore the intersection of artificial intelligence, creativity, and career.
Copywriters and creatives talk a lot about generative AI tools and how we use them in our businesses, but we don't talk enough about the critical mindset shifts needed to adapt to our new AI-infused workplace. That's why we brought in Lisa Norell, an executive coach who's working with companies as big as Hilton to generate fresh growth strategies and help their leaders feel confident and calm amid the disruption that is generative AI. Now, I promised Lisa I'd keep her introduction short and sweet because we both agreed that there's nothing worse than an intro that drags on and on. But I'm also a long-form writer, so brevity is an ongoing struggle. This episode is a must listen if you want to find out how we can use Lisa's three bucket theory to focus our time on the business activities that will best serve the future of our businesses, along with the importance of scenario planning, critical thinking, career longevity, and of course, our mindset as we deal with the ever-changing AI space. We'll also talk briefly about how to integrate ChatGPT into your coaching or consulting services and a few lessons learned from Lisa's open water swimming adventures. All right, let's just jump in to the latest episode on the AI for Creative Entrepreneurs podcast.
Well, hold on. Before we get to our interview, this podcast is sponsored by our AI course. It's called AI for Copywriters, Content Writers, and Creatives. It's a course/adventure. More than 200 copywriters have already used the course to learn about using AI in their business and specifically how to use it as a creative partner, not just to write copy or content. And they're telling us that it is helping tremendously. Ethan Ross, a restaurant marketing consultant and copywriter, he gave the course 5 out of 5 stars and told us this course was exactly what I needed to create extremely useful AI prompts and to feel confident that ChatGPT was giving me the good stuff instead of cliche, flavorless content that people complain about. He's already used the prompt crafting techniques and templates to help him with projects for clients. And he told us, I've even used what I've learned to create an AI research demonstration for a writing class that I teach. So needless to say, this course is ideal for anyone who wants to start using AI to increase their efficiency and effectiveness while also presenting as somewhat of an AI expert to their clients. So end quote. Thanks, Ethan, for saying that. The course includes everything you need to know about how to write prompts so that what you get back is great. It includes lessons about generative AI, what it is and what it can't do. It talks about the legal risks and implications. It includes a prompt book and prompt demonstrations so you can see how to use these prompts in your business. And we recently just added a certification so that you can take the materials of the course, implement them into how you use them in your business, and then take a test and be a certified prompt engineer at the end of it. It's all available at thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C. That's number 4C, AI4C.
Okay, let's kick off our episode with Lisa. Let's kick it off, Lisa. I want to know how you ended up working with AI and pulling that into the work that you do.
My mission is helping mindful leaders cultivate healthier companies. Organizations like AARP, CoStar Group, Hilton, Google have hired me to generate fresh growth strategies and to help their customer-facing leaders get promoted faster and with greater confidence. Given the disruption that generative AI, the political discourse, the dark side of social media, and this really amorphous thing called hybrid work, what they're doing to disrupt the way we used to see how business was done, it puts a lot of pressure on our clients and our leaders. So my job is to help them find some calm and some confidence in this new world in which we live. And they typically report higher employee engagement scores, double-digit revenue improvements, as well as just greater calm in the work that they're doing.
And what do you do to help them feel that sense of calm and confidence? Because I think even though you're working with larger companies like AARP, small business owners and creatives, copywriters are feeling that unease right now. They're feeling a lack of confidence because a lot of them are losing retainer clients and dealing with this tumultuous space that you described so well. So how are you helping your clients gain that confidence and feel calm? And would those lessons be different for small business owners or pretty similar?
One thing that we are seeing is that the world is challenging us to be more resilient. Mm-hmm. And it's not about bouncing forward from trouble or rapid speed of change or the disruptive nature of ChatGPT. It's more a matter of starting to embrace what I call a beginner's mindset and being curious about what is ahead of us. You know, we get to choose one of two paths in the way we react to the tumult known as generative AI. One is this, what I will call the scarcity mindset of, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. Kira, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, it's coming after my job. I heard the same thing when something called word processing was transferred from typewriters to dedicated word processing machines to PC software. I was part of that revolution. My second job out of college was working for a PC software company. And at the time, there were three PC software companies on the planet, not 11,500 MarTech tools that we see now in the infamous and onerous MarTech landscape that we live under. And so, that's one mindset that we can embrace. And that will perpetuate stress, hair loss, breakouts, insomnia, malnutrition, obesity, and other wonderful human maladies that we'd rather avoid. And I can say this because I have embraced scarcity mindsets in the past. It's happened to me. The other is the mindset of possibility, the mindset of abundance. What can I do with generative AI? How can it make my life easier so it frees me up? Mm-hmm. To do the things that are in my genius zone? And how can it make it easier to do business or for my clients to work with me? Because mm-hmm. it's really all about helping them and improving them and improving their condition. So anyway, the reason I'm in three groups is to keep me in check and make sure I live in the land of abundance, possibility, and to embrace that growth mindset.
Yeah. So what would help copywriters that might be struggling with that, if they're listening, they're like, oh yeah, I've definitely been channeling the scarcity mindset. You mentioned community. So that's one, being in the right communities where people have more of a growth mindset and are experimenting with these tools and just figuring it out. Is there anything else that could help them if they're like, ah, I keep going to, robots are going to take our jobs and I just can't get out of that loop?
I go back to one of the lessons that I will always remember from attending the Modern Elder Academy last October in Baja, Mexico, because sometimes it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle. The three keys to longevity, both longevity in your career and longevity overall: wellness, purpose, and a community. So think about your blue zones. If you haven't read the book Blue Zones, it talks about all of these communities all over the world filled with people over 100 years old that are thriving. What do they have in common? Why do these elderly people have such joyful lives and run through the tape when their lives are through? They have those three areas dialed in really well. This is a great time. Again, it's the post-pandemic world where we've all been through some level of existential crisis. I trust that you've probably faced that once or twice in the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great time to do some spring cleaning. What kind of communities do I hang out in? Am I watching cable news 5 hours a day? Am I on some websites or social media outlets where the sky is falling and people are talking about the robots taking over the world? Where am I what am I consuming? Who am I hanging out with? Are these people changing the world for the better, or have they made it their jobs to scare everyone? You get to choose what those communities look like. And thankfully, in my case, I have found three enlightening and enriching communities, and I'm all more grateful for it.
I know, Lisa, that you work with clients on strategic thinking, strategic planning, setting the vision. It feels like that's more important now than ever to really think ahead. How do you balance that, or how do you guide your clients to work through that process while dealing with, you know, the day-to-day ups and downs, and then thinking ahead when everything feels like it's changing so quickly? It's like, how do we even plan for the next 10 years if we can't even plan for the next 3 months? How can we approach that strategic thinking?
Every entrepreneur I've talked to struggles with this. I call it the three bucket theory. So every day I wake up, I get to choose one of three buckets and how I'm going to spend my time. Bucket number one is, let me go fix yesterday's chronic problems. Bucket number two is, let me hang out in my inbox today. I've got a list of to-dos. It is the natural tendency for highly creative people to want to overperform and exceed expectations. And we get to choose how much we overfill that inbox such that we have no energy left by the end of the day. The third bucket is, WTF, what's the future? What's next? What's possible? How do I create an exciting new offering? How do I go test it with five of my best clients and see how they react? And in advising now over 100 chief marketing officers, mostly in the United States, and hosting these private communities, what I have found, and this is really going to shock you, as they track their time, which I ask every coaching client to do, take 1 week and track your time, put a piece of paper next to your laptop and just track your time. There's no wrong answer. And tell me what percentage of your time is spent in each of the three buckets. And it's less than 5%. And this is quite comical, because they come to me because they want to get promoted faster. They want to have more influence in the C-suite. They want respect from the board of directors for the work they're doing, and they want to be a greater force for good. And yet they are stuck in this rut of yesterday's problems and today's inbox. Boards of directors don't compensate you and reward you for fixing yesterday's problems, unless your company is a turnaround situation. So our job is to help them free themselves up, become better delegators, automate the stuff they don't like to do, so that they have more free time to work in that zone of genius.
Okay. All right. And I know you do some worst case scenario planning with clients too. That seems like it's probably showing up in your work today, related to AI. And how is that showing up in your work? How are you helping clients? And is that something that small business owners should think about?
Yes, scenario planning is very different from strategic planning. It is a process that used to just be relegated to large companies that sell lots of products and services and have very large budgets. But as we see the rapid change happening around us, scenario planning is something anybody can do. I've got two articles about this. And the reason that it's so important right now is that the hype cycle known as generative AI is taking us on a wild ride. And if we're not able to respond to these changes with greater confidence and with data, it's going to be a rough ride. We want to make sure that we, again, with that abundance mindset, with that growth mindset, that we're able to step back and say, all right, what could happen here and how can I respond to it? So if you're experiencing either big shifts with generative AI or your customers are behaving differently than they used to, they're asking you for things like rate cuts or they want you to stop working on retainer. They want a different pricing structure, or they're worried about another pandemic, or there are some very big new competitors that are showing up when you talk to your clients. These are all reasons to look at scenario planning and run through some of these questions with a trusted set of other advisors. You know, how are we going to, what's great about this change? What's not great about this change? How do we, you know, under the constraints that we're facing, create a set of what I'll call guiding principles or filters to help us reset our priorities? Because my old priorities or the way I went to market and provided my services and products are no longer applicable under these new realities. I'll give you an example. One of my colleagues and friends is the chief marketing officer for a large cybersecurity company that's actually owned by Dell. And she runs scenario planning in addition to strategic planning. They're a pretty sizable cybersecurity company. She does it to avoid a couple things. One, to resist short-term thinking and just trying to make the numbers. Number two is it helps her identify who are those strategic thinkers in our organization that can help us grow and continue to serve our customers in new ways. So it has a great, it's a great way, even if you are an individual copywriter, to say, you know, I can't build this company by myself. I need some outside experts. I have some independent contractors helping me with my website or my social media or some of these, or even my accounting. Maybe I could bring them together on a Zoom and we can strategize about some of these big changes that are happening to me and to my work.
Yeah. I love the idea of scenario, worst case scenario planning, because this is not something that we talk about in the small business space. And I think we should now and break it down so it's actionable. I like what you're sharing about paying attention to what customers are asking you for, especially if it's shifting. I think it's easy not to ignore it because it does affect your day-to-day, but to just kind of continue doing the same thing even though it's not working. And I see that with a lot of copywriters who are are having a harder time selling retainer packages, or they maybe are just losing long-term retainers left and right and are just kind of left like, okay, well, what do I do now? Sounds like you're saying this is the time to sit down, revisit all your offers and figure out what's working, what's not working based off what customers are asking you for, not continue to try to sell the same thing, which is just, it's not feasible right now.
Yes. And I have to say my heart goes out to the copywriters. Part of the reasons my books got launched and the reason that I felt really great about the quality of those books is because both of my publishers had on staff incredible copywriters and copy editors. And to them, I am eternally grateful. I look back or think back at what J. Peter Skoblik said in an article from HBR when he once said, quote, "It takes strength to stand up against the tyranny of the present and invest in imagination." And I'm back on that bucket. WTF. I can tell this, Kira, because I met you at the Marketing AI conference. You are such a highly creative person and being. You know, I can see how that WTF exercise for you would be rather easy. It's just a matter of setting aside the time and freeing yourself up and pulling in those trusted community members to be your brainstorming partner, like you do with your mastermind groups.
Mm-hmm. What would you recommend for someone who is maybe not in that group yet, has not found it, or maybe just can't quite afford to join that group yet, but they realize they need that feedback. They need that creative feedback. They're stuck. They don't have team members yet to bounce around those ideas, but they know what they're doing isn't working. So what would you recommend they do?
Well, here's how I would approach it. I would say, first of all, what do I know about myself? Where in my life have I had breakdowns and breakthroughs? How did I get from the breakdown to the breakthrough? Did I have a mentor? Did I have a coach? Did I have a family member? Or was I in a group setting where we had lots of people who trusted one another and could push back and challenge our limiting beliefs? In other words, what kind of forum is best suited to my style of mm-hmm. growing? And then once you figure that out, the second question I would ask would be, is the pain strong enough for me to change? Mm-hmm. Don't go forward with this and invest your energy and your money if status quo is okay. I have no judgment around people who are running a lifestyle business and only want to work 10 hours a week and things are okay at 10 hours a week or 2 days a week, whatever. There may not be enough impetus for change. Mm-hmm. You may not be in the stage of a breakdown, and that's all right too.
Right. That's probably, you're probably at a good place if you're not in the breakdown stage. It can be painful. You have had a front row seat with all of these CMOs who are navigating change, different changes. We've talked about a couple, but we're specifically thinking about generative AI. What has surprised you the most as you watch them, maybe worked with some of them and seen how they're adapting and coping and maneuvering through this time? What surprised you? Maybe good and bad surprises along the way.
Yes. Well, all names have been changed to protect the innocent. One thing that surprises me, so I will not name names. I have noticed one of my favorite places to hang out is LinkedIn. And I'm noticing how easy it is for some CMOs to fall back into bucket number two and skip bucket number three altogether. There are a few CMOs who have decided to make LinkedIn their platform to overhype generative AI.
Oh, yep.
And a couple of CMOs are skipping over all of the important questions around security, privacy, governance, protecting your IP, copyright issues. And they're just going into this random walk around, oh, just go buy Jasper, go buy the business version of ChatGPT and just play with it. I don't see that as valuable advice. Because just play with it is not a strategy. It is ungrounded hype cycle BS, pardon my French. That CMO is not helping anybody because it's just the value of our time. What is wealth? Wealth is discretionary time. And to say to someone, just go buy seven different tools and play with them, to me, is a wealth killer, not a wealth builder.
I'm wondering how you would advise them if they're your client so that they don't fall into that trap of, you know, the easy trap of just saying what everyone else is saying and and leaning into the experimentation stage without thinking really carefully about what it actually means. You know, what should they be saying? What should they be doing at this stage?
I would consider first, who are 5 to 10 people who are anti-hypesters, mm-hmm. who are pragmatists, who are looking at the bigger picture of generative AI? I will give you two or three of my favorites, Kira. You are one of them because your podcasts do not come across as hype.
Oh,
number two, Paul Rietzer, the CEO and the lead on the Marketing AI podcast, and of course, where we met at the Marketing AI Institute. I like Anne Hanley just because Anne injects humor into everything she does, and she's just a writing goddess. Let's just call it for what it is. So I also would invite you to follow a dear friend of mine who is a best-selling author of The Disruption Mindset, and her name is Charlene Lee, L-I. Charlene is running a whole series of free live streams to unpack some of these more strategic issues and get us to zoom out and look at the big picture of some of the topics you and I covered earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, the categories other than just play with Jasper. I mean, not helpful.
Right.
Not helpful. And follow those people. At the one area I'm struggling to find, I would love to find a law firm that is keeping close tabs on the long-term implications of generative AI on our IP. Mm-hmm. And I'm very reticent to take my copy from all of my video courses or my books and my manuscripts and my blog posts and just throw them into the free large language model. I just don't trust it. And I have a deep respect for copyright protection.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a big concern for all writers. It's, you know, how do we keep our ideas and our writing safe? And I think we're working through it, and I think there will be some solutions to it soon, but it's not there today.
Maybe it's coming. I don't know. It's such an exciting time. I wake up every morning going, okay, what's going to happen today?
Yeah. And I mean, you are making changes. You're aware of the changes. You're paying attention to the space. You're asking more strategic questions rather than just jumping in and responding to the hype. So what other changes have you made in your business, if you have, over the last 5 months because of the shifts? Have you noticed your customers are asking you for something else and so you've shifted your offers or made any other changes?
I am doing three things. Number one, I am maintaining a focus on who is my future client.
I like that.
It's really easy for me to get lulled into, oh my gosh, I have coaching clients and CMOs and CEO clients that I coach. And I have these wonderful partnerships with companies like EBSCO and LinkedIn Learning. So, you know, I could rest on my laurels. And I am working vigilantly every week to ask, okay, what are my future clients doing? Where do they hang out? And the second thing I'm doing is I'm asking my clients permission during consulting or coaching engagements to say, do you mind if we pull up ChatGPT and prompt it with a few questions?
Ooh.
So much like I use whiteboards and Miro and other tools in Zoom and so forth to cultivate collaboration with my clients. Now, on coaching engagements, when I'm on Zoom, I'll say to the client, hey, can I share my screen? Hey, let's just throw these prompts into ChatGPT and see what it says. It's a thought partner. It's a conversation starter. If they're working hard on a new signature story for their company, or they don't know how to describe what they do, and they want to use metaphors and stories in order to captivate people, it can be a great thought partner. And again, as long as it's not used to gather facts and figures. The third is I am working much more vigilantly on becoming better at my critical thinking skills.
Mm, yep.
And challenging every not challenging, but asking for sources and evidence. When I hear people on LinkedIn or Facebook or even in our Slack channels stating things, and I would give this caveat to everyone listening today, just be cautious when you're invited to participate in a mastermind group or, you know, a long weekend program or seminar, and people are quoting certain sources and throwing out compelling statistics. I always ask now, oh, could you tell me where you heard that? I believe that those skills are what will separate the robot copy content from the excellent writers that I know are listening to this show right now.
I love that you're doing that. Critical thinking, what else could we do to, I think what you're doing, asking for sources is great. And just at a societal level, we should just be doing that across the board. Is there anything else we could do to work that muscle and work that critical thinking muscle a little bit more?
I remember something that used to really irritate my mother. When I was a little girl, you know, my parents learned early that this young lady, Lisa, has a lot of energy. We need to keep her busy. Otherwise, she's going to get in a lot of trouble. I grew up in this small rural town in Connecticut. So my parents were very wise. They said, keep her busy, get her into as many activities as possible. Because when I was bored, I used to ask why. Why are we doing it this way? Why do I have to do the same cheerleading program that I did last year? What if I try tennis? And it drove my poor mother crazy. May she rest in peace, because she put up with way too much of my shenanigans. I didn't do it because I was malevolent. I wasn't an evil child. I just had this insatiable curiosity. And I say to people, generative AI has no curiosity. It is not a sentient being. Bring your joyfulness, your curiosity, and your playfulness to every engagement and every interaction with other humans you can. That will never go out of style.
Oh, I love that. That is a great note to wrap on, but I do want to ask you two final questions. One, what is coming up for you next? Is there anything that you want to share with our copywriters and creatives? Any ways they can potentially work with you or connect with you?
Yes. Well, there are a couple of ways. One is you will find me on HBR, where I just started publishing as a contributing author. So if you go to HBR and put in my name, Lisa Norell, you'll see some of my information there. More importantly, I'd love to hear from you. And I have these free video series on marketing strategy and improving your marketing confidence. So if anyone's interested in those videos and complimentary content, we have those available to you. Just send me an email to 7 videos free to lisa@lisanorell.com. We'll make sure you receive those. And of course, you can find me all over LinkedIn, where my live streams and podcasts are shared broadly and monthly. And I invite anyone to join the Mindful Marketer show.
And that triggers one more question about, you are a prolific writer. I paying attention to you on LinkedIn, so I get to see a little bit of it. But I'm just wondering, are you using any tools like ChatGPT with your own writing process, even if it's just the ideation or anything? Because you're just putting content out there left and right. It's so impressive.
Well, thank you. I had a mentor. I started studying with him and attending his workshops at least 18 years ago. He is the incredible Alan Weiss, who he calls himself the rock star of consulting, and he really is the rock star of consulting. He wrote this incredible book, among 48 others, called Million Dollar Consulting. And he taught me that writing is about success, not perfection. Now, when I write for HBR, it's got to be darn well perfect. Mm-hmm. For a blog post that I have some insights to share, does it need to be perfect? Heck no. So depending on the venue or the platform I'm using, I want people to know I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I want people to know I'm approachable and relatable. And like yesterday, 15 minutes, I generated a 90-second video and put it on LinkedIn. The lighting wasn't perfect. The message was important. So again, I really learned, you know, to pick your platform. Does it need to be perfect? Sometimes yes, most of the time no.
Yeah.
And just share your insights, get your thought leadership out there. And when your perfectionist mindset shows up, say, thank you for sharing. You can go back in the closet now. I'm going to write this thing and share it with the world, because how dare I hide and hold back this great value I have to share with the world? How unfair is that to the world and all the people I could be helping?
Yeah. And I recommend anyone listening, check out the links you mentioned and the places they can find you, because that's, you are showing up as a thought leader. I know some people don't like that term anymore, but you are showing up there consistently, and I love your approach. So it's worth just to see what it could look like, one example, and checking you out. And I know I've kept you over time, so I appreciate it. I have a final question about your open water swimming experience. You're an open water swimmer. I think that's so, you know, so amazing and intriguing. I'd love to jump into that. What lessons or one lesson have you pulled from your open water swimming experience that you apply to your business?
Let's do a whole other show on endurance sports, because you're doing a triathlon. Girl, I got to say,
I haven't done it yet, though. Impressed. I haven't done it yet.
That's okay. Repeat after me. My name is Kira Hug.
My name is Kira Hug.
I used to not be a triathlete and tell myself I haven't done it.
I can be a triathlete, even though I haven't done it yet.
My previous, I'm not a triathlete yet, was a previous me, and it's time to let it go. And today I choose to be a triathlete.
Letting it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Okay. I am. I am the triathlete.
You're a triathlete. I'm an open water swimmer. Lessons learned is be in the moment and enjoy it. I can't be an open water swimmer. I'm going to be up in Vermont this summer for my 5K at Lake Mefremagog. And I got to say, I can't be doing my shopping list or worrying about ChatGPT when I'm getting thrown around by choppy waters and wind and bright sun in my goggles, you know, blinding me. I can only focus on the present and how fortunate I am at age 61 that I get to swim in these gorgeous waters and be surrounded by Mother Earth. I mean, what else is there? This is it.
All right. I love it. And I might join you on one of those swims. So we'll have to chat about that later.
We'll talk.
But thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate your time and sharing your perspective on business, marketing, AI. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, Kira.
Before we wrap, I'm curious, Rob, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, so really early on in the interview, Lisa started mentioning that the quote about how discovery is seeing with new eyes and thinking through how we approach the work that we do, focusing on relationships instead of projects. And I think that's a nice reframe for a mindset around how do we use AI, where so many people are freaked out by AI and what it's going to do to our businesses. And obviously, as a tool, it does change the work that we do as creatives, but it doesn't change the relationships that we have with our clients. And so if we can use these tools to do better work or to do more work, however it applies, but then really focus on that relationship with the clients that we can help, helping them solve problems, helping them grow their businesses, showing up as a strategist and as a partner, and not just as a content producer, I think that's everything you need to succeed with AI, as opposed to, you know, being frightened by it or being put out of business by it.
Yeah, no, that was a great point. And I really was drawn to her three bucket theory, where she talked about how we choose to think about our time and where we spend our time. And bucket number one is really focusing on yesterday's problems and going back to fix what's broken from yesterday. Bucket number two is just being present, but not necessarily present in a good way. It's kind of like you know, staying around your inbox or just like surfing your inbox to see what's coming in, or even social media, or building out a list of to-dos that are just kind of feel like busy work. And then the third bucket, where most of us do not spend nearly enough time, is the WTF, what's the future bucket, which is really about what you can do to be proactive about creating opportunities for yourself and for your business, thinking through what's possible, kind of using that beginner's eye that you mentioned to really reimagine what could be created for the world, for your clients, for your business. And I believe she said when she surveyed her clientele or community, we only spend 5% of our time there. I think that's what she said. And that's just a shame. So I think a reminder to me is just to get out of bucket number two, where I hang out, and spend more time in bucket number three.
Yeah. Well, all of us, I think, could get out of bucket two more, me included. All right. We want to thank Lisa Norell for joining us on the podcast to talk about the importance of scenario planning, critical thinking, career longevity, and our mindset as we deal with AI and all the changes that are coming along in the space. And once again, if you want to jump into the AI for Copywriters course and get that certification as a prompt engineer, go to thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C.
And that's the end of this episode of AI for Creative Entrepreneurs, a Copywriter Club podcast produced by Brandon Burton. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, leave a review of the show on your podcast app, or if you are catching us on YouTube, you can like this video, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment below to let us know your favorite takeaway from the show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.